Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 155, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. My soul is grieved because my foes with treacherous plans my way enclose. But from the snares that they devise, their own undoing shall arise. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 155.
From God's holy word, that which can be found in the book of Esther, thereof the sixth chapter. But before that, the law of God as it can be found in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven or above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. We repeat Esther 6. On that night could not the king sleep, and he commanded to bring the book of records of the chronicles, and they were read before the king. And it was found written that Mordecai had told of Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's chamberlains, the keepers of the door, who sought to lay hand on the king Ahasuerus. And the king said, "What honor and dignity hath been done to Mordecai for this?" Then said the king's servants that ministered unto him, "There is nothing done for him." And the king said, "Who is in the court?" Now Haman was come into the outward court of the king's house to speak unto the king to hang Mordecai on the gallows that he had prepared for him. And the king's servants said unto him, "Behold, Haman standeth in the court." And the king said, "Let him come in." So Haman came in. And the king said unto him, "What shall be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor?" Now Haman thought in his heart, "To whom would the king delight to do honor more than to myself?" And Haman answered the king, "For the man whom the king delighteth to honor, let the royal apparel be brought which the king useth to wear, and the horse that the king rideth upon, and the crown royal which is set upon his head. And let this apparel and horse be delivered to the hand of one of the king's most noble princes, that they may array the man withal, whom the king delighteth to honor, and bring him on horseback through the street of the city, and proclaim before him, 'Thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delighteth to honor.'" Then the king said to Haman, "Make haste, and take the apparel and the horse, as thou hast said, and do even so to Mordecai the Jew, that sitteth at the king's gate. Let nothing fail of all that thou hast spoken." Then took Haman the apparel and the horse, and arrayed Mordecai, and brought him on horseback through the street of the city, and proclaimed before him, "Thus shall be done, it be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor." And Mordecai came again to the king's gate. But Haman hasted to his house, mourning, and having his head covered. And Haman told Zeresh, his wife, and all his friends, everything that had befallen him. Then said his wise men and Zeresh his wife unto him, "If Mordecai be of the seed of the Jews, before whom thou hast begun to fall, thou shalt not prevail against him, but shalt surely fall before him. Now while they were yet talking with him, came the king's chamberlains, and hasted to bring Haman unto the banquet that Esther had prepared.
We hope to remember in prayer this morning Mr. and Mrs. Arjun Janssen, who were blessed with a well-born girl in this past week. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and eternal God, it behooves us to approach unto Thee with great reverence and with fitting humility, because Thou knowest what we have become in our father Adam, and what shows in our life from day to day, also in the week that is gone behind. Then who can put his hand into his own bosom and take it out clean? For Thou knowest the corruption of our hearts and the vanity of our life, and that we are not seekers after Thee. For Thou sayest to seek and to ask and to knock, but we are seeking and asking and knocking for everything that is in this world. And there is no changing our wretched and our miserable heart except that Thou would look upon us from above. O Lord, remember us and our children. Wilt Thou instruct us in all Thy truth? Thou knowest all our hearts and all our lives, and how did we come up also in this morning to Thy house. Lord, Thou sayest in Thy word that Thou canst receive nothing from us. Whole burnt offering and sacrifice that is not pleasing in Thy sight. But when we may magnify Thee and glorify Thee, and when we may sing Thy praises, when we may give thanks unto Thee, oh, that is more than all burnt sacrifice and offering. Oh, Lord, how can we do it? Thou knowest that we have no such thing in our heart, and that needs to be worked in each and every one of us, that we may be given to sing Thy praises. Lord, then it is so necessary that we be taught who we are. It is so necessary for us to be humbled by Thy Spirit. We need to have our eyes open, and we need to have our ears open. And Thou sayest, who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Oh, that that Spirit of Thee may speak unto us in this day, and that our ears may be opened, and that our eyes may be opened, and that our hearts may be opened, that we may attend to the things that are spoken of Thee. Oh, that we may receive life from the dead, that we may receive instruction in our souls, and that we may be given to despair of all that is from our own sight. Our strength, our wisdom, our righteousness, our goodness, our faithfulness, everything. All our righteousness is to become as filthy rags. Oh, make Thou us one of that wretched and that poor people, who are that peculiar people of Thee, with a desire, a new desire in their heart, and yet that they cannot fulfill. As Thy servant did say, there is in me, there dwelleth in me no good thing. O Lord, that Thou may remember us together and instruct and teach us from above, that Thy Spirit may accompany Thy word this day to young and old. Look upon our children. O, do grant them in the days of their youth the meditations and the thoughts upon Thee, their Maker and their Creator, and that they could not live without Thee in the days of their youth. Satan goes about in our days with much freedom, and then he is loosed by Thee Lord, thou knowest what he works, and the temptations, they are so many and so great. And they do come even within our own homes. Lord, then it is more that we are able to bear in our sinful human nature. Because we will surely fall if we are left to ourselves. Oh, then we need that fence and that wall about us that thou alone art able to build. Oh, look upon then our youth and our children, and also the older ones. Lord, thou knowest the parents and all that we stand in need of. And wilt thou look upon also those that have become old, those that are not able to gather in thy house, that must listen by church telephone. Lord, that thou may remember them also in this day, and that thou may give a blessing where thou alone art able to bring it, and that thou may give that life even in old age, and when the heart that has become so hard, and that a man says, how can it any more be broken? And I cannot melt it. O Lord, thou art able in a moment to break the hardest heart, and to melt the coldest heart. O thou art able to make us to come upon our knees, and thou art able to give a cry, a prayer, a desire. And thou art able to give a sigh when we are not able to sigh. Lord, look upon us then, young and old, in all our wretchedness and in all our misery, and that we may receive from thee that which we are unable to give ourselves. Do look upon those that have received from thee a child, Lord, a grandchild for us, a child for our children. Oh, could it be a child born to be born again, and that thou may labor in the midst of the youth. Lord, remember the mother and child together, and that thou may give strength once again, and thankful and humble hearts before thee. Wilt thou remember all the children and the youth. Remember all those that need thee in special ways, those that are afflicted, those that are sick, and all those that mourn. Thou knowest the week also that has gone by, laid in the grave one that is old, and one that has never even seen the light of a day. O Lord, thou art God. Thou speakest and it is. And thou art the King. Thou art so sovereign to do just as thou dost please. And who can say unto thee, what doest thou? But wilt thou remember those that are left behind, that thou may give a blessed submission, and give a place to leave it all before thee, and to say all that thou doest is right and it is good. Oh, that we may be given to take our rightful place before thee in all things, and to say we have sinned against thee. O Lord, that thou may so remember each and every one. Look on all thy servants. They are going forth once again to bring thy word upon thy day. Oh, that thou may give thy word in great and rich measure. And when it is that from our side we also sin it away every day again, so that we are so undeserving of thy help and the least notice or attention. Lord, then also as thy servants, we can bring forth no good thing. Then we are so dependent upon thy free and thy sovereign grace. We need also to be washed and to be cleansed. Oh, that thou would not deal with us according to our sins, but that thou may remember us also in this morning hour, for the sake of this thy people. Oh, could it be that thou may open our mouth, that thy children may not starve, and that there also may be those who may be born in Zion, and new ones, O Lord, that must be brought in, that the light of the day may be seen, and that we may not perish before that we have seen it, all young and old together, a soul for a great eternity. We cannot realize by nature the magnitude of this. Oh, we need our eyes to be open. Lord, do it then. Do it for thy own great and holy name's sake. Wilt thou remember also those that have been elected to office in that portion of our congregation in Calgary. Lord, thou knowest each of them. Those that were able to accept that office, him also that was not able to accept it. Lord, thou knowest each of them. Oh, could it please thee to remember them all together on this day? And could it please thee also to remember that part of our flock? And that in due time thou would show thy favor, and give that they may be established as a congregation, and that also there thy favor may be experienced, that we may see, O Lord, that it is thy hand, and that we may not take one step without thee. Oh, that thou may look on us then and give us wisdom in all of these ways what to do. Remember our brother that labors there in this morning hour. And wilt thou give him also to feel and experience something of thy help from above? Look on us then in this day, in this morning. Lord, give thy word free course. Give us a little attention. Give that all the things of this world may not come in between. Oh, that we may be able for a moment to put aside all the cares and the concerns, which can be so many, the trials, the difficulties. Lord, thou knowest they weigh on the hearts. But oh, that in this hour, that our attention may be taken by thee. Oh, that thou may give us a little meditation. Give us a little entrance into thy word, and thy word an entrance into our hearts. And wilt thou forgive and take away all of our many, many sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 82. All the stanzas, defend me, Lord, from shame, for still I trust in thee, since just and righteous is thy name, and from trouble set me free. And what follows, we announced at the male members meeting in Calgary in this past week, Mr. Art Visser and Mr. Eric Slingerland were elected as elders. Both have accepted their offices. Lawful objections must be brought to the consistory by Wednesday, May the 13th. Mr. Peter Van Wyk was elected as deacon, but has declined. Our last collection today is for the Calvin Christian School. Psalter 82, all the stanzas. congregation, the words of our text for this morning hour can be found in that portion of God's Word which was read to you. From Esther 6, and thereof the first part of the first verse. Esther 6, the first part of the first verse. On that night could not the king sleep. So far in the words of our text. The king awake in the night. First, what night that was. And second, the king's sleeplessness in that night. The king awake in the night. On that night could not the king sleep. First, what night that was, and second, the king's sleeplessness in that night. On that night, what night was that? That was a very special night. Because according to the plotting of the enemy, that will be in the very last night of Mordecai upon the earth. Because tomorrow, Mordecai will be hanged. What did Haman have against Mordecai? Mordecai would not bow to him. Mordecai would bow to the Lord only. Is that with us too? Boys and girls, will we bow to all that is in this world? Mordecai would bow unto the Lord alone. And that was so offensive to the pride of Haman, who would have the whole world to bow before him. But we can read that that enmity that has gone even deeper, because that is not only against Haman, but it is an enmity against the people of Haman. That is an enmity against the Jewish nation itself. That is an enmity against the people of the Lord. Thus, that enmity is going even deeper yet. Because it is not only the enmity of a Haman, but it is an enmity of Satan himself. It is an enmity of Satan against the Lord and against all of the people of the Lord. It is an enmity against Christ. It is an enmity against the Church of Christ. The devil has instigated the fall, and he would prevent also the salvation, that is the redemption of the Church of Christ. The devil will have no man to bow before God. Just as Haman, the devil, he would have every man to bow before him. And what is it? It is in his pride. That is now that sin of the devil. Paul, he says that when man, he is lifted up in his pride, that he is there falling into the condemnation of the devil. There is a perpetual warfare between Christ and the kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of God, and the devil and his kingdom. Two kingdoms. They are two kingdoms that can never be reconciled. They are further apart from one another than the east is from the west and the north from the south. Than the truth from the falsehood. Than the light and the dark. We cannot, the Lord Jesus says, we cannot serve God and mammon. Why not? Because these two cannot be reconciled to one another. The devil, he has also been a part in that captivity of the people because of his temptations, because of his allurements of the people of the Lord to bow themselves before all of the idols of those heathen. And it is not enough for him. When he has been an instrument to bring that people into captivity, but he will have that people to be completely destroyed. And then he has his instruments. He has his soldiers in that warfare. They are men of this world. Tools. Tools in the hand of Satan that he may bring about his end, his purpose. Sometimes it is in their ignorance that a man can be a tool of the devil, because Ahasuerus, we do not read that he has in himself any particular enmity against that people of the Lord. And then he was in the beginning ignorant of those plans and those desires of that serpent Haman. But that Ahasuerus has given unto him his own ring. And that ring that was a symbol of a great power. And that ring on the finger of Haman was a tremendous power against that whole church of God that is all in the allowance, that is all in the permission of the Lord. Satan's devices, they are not new. No, that is an age-old conflict that has begun already. We can read in the Bible from the very beginning. But we read in God's Word that the manner of that conflict that is changing. That sometimes the devil, he is coming as a roaring lion against that church. And at other times that he is coming against that church as an angel of light. That he is coming against them in his silver slippers. And then there are times and there are seasons. Also for the church of God. In that warfare, we can read in Revelation how that John, he is given a sight. He is given a sight of Satan himself. And the Lord shows to him that Satan was bound. And that he was bound for 1,000 years. And that he should deceive the nations no more until that 1,000 years were finished. That is not, we believe, a literal 1,000 years, a literal millennium, no. But that is a full period of time. 10 times 10 times 10. That is that time from that time of the coming of Christ in this world to that time of the coming of Christ the second time in judgment. And Satan, he is bound, that he is not able to deceive the world in the same way that he has deceived the world for those 4,000 years before that Christ has come, before that gospel has come in the midst of the world. And then the deception of the devil, and that was in all the nations of the world. But after Christ has come, and that word of truth has come, and when that will go out to all the nations, then the devil, he will be bound for the most part for that period of time, that deception may be no more, and that the light of the knowledge of the truth may go forth unto all the nations of this world. And then what? Then we read, then he must be loosed again. Then he must be loosed again, we read, for a little season. That is a season that we read in God's Word, immediately before the end, immediately before the coming of Christ upon the clouds for the second time in the judgment of this world. Thus loosed. Loosed for a little season, congregation. Are our eyes open? Oh, can we see something? Then it must be so clear to us that we are living in those times wherein the Lord, he is loosing the devil, that he is going about in our time as he has never been permitted in the history of this world. Then it is so evident that Satan is gathering his forces, and that people that in whom Christ is dwelling with his spirit in their heart, and who are not able to have that name of that beast upon their forehead and upon their hand, that the forces of Satan, they are gathering quickly against that people. On that night, could not the king sleep? What night is that? That is now the last night for Mordecai upon the earth. The church that can be in the greatest danger. Sometimes they may know it. Sometimes they may feel it. David, he says, there is surely one step between me and death. I shall now one day perish at the hand of Saul. There came a day that the Lord permitted that enemy, Saul and his men, to completely surround David. So that it was as if David, he is like a rat in a trap, that he is surely now taken. That we read that David hasted, he made haste, that he may be delivered from Saul. Oh, how often? How often does it not seem in the life of God's children that the devil, that sin, that the world, that the enemy, that he is indeed going to get the victory? Oh, the Lord allows it to go so far The Lord allows it by times to come just upon the brink. That they fear. That everything that is lost, and that indeed it appears that it is indeed lost, or how often, and then do they not fear? David says, daily my enemies, they would swallow me up. The greatest forces, they seem so often to be on the other side. The greatest forces, they seem to be so often on the side of that enemy. And God's children, they are so weak. They experience them to be so helpless because they have no might against all that great company that is coming against them. And the Lord, oh, the Lord. Do you know what David said in Psalm 44? He says, awake. Why sleepest thou, O Lord? Arise, cast us not off forever. Awake. Oh, how often is it not in the life of God's people, like the Lord is sleeping? Like the Lord is sleeping. Like the Lord sees nothing. And that He knows of nothing. My Lord, He has forsaken me. He has forgotten me. Oh, how in what a dangerous way God's children can sometimes be. Sometimes they know it. Sometimes they feel it. Then they are afraid. But sometimes they are not afraid. Children. We read of Paul and Silas. They were laying in the prison. They thought too, it is our last night. Our last night. And you know what they were doing? They were singing. What do you think? Would you sing too? If you thought today is the last day of my life, tonight is my last night, and tomorrow it is death, can be burial this week, one that is very old, one that was so young, much younger than you, never even saw the light of a day. Oh, and then to sing. You understand, something has to be given to us if we will sing like that. Or in what circumstances God's children can be. But sometimes it is even different. There are sometimes they do not even realize it. They do not even realize how close that other enemy is. And what that enemy is doing and how that enemy is plotting, they do not even realize it. That is the way it was for Mordecai. Oh, he was not unaware of the hatred of Haman. He was not unaware of the hatred of that enemy against that Jewish people in general, no. But he didn't realize that his life that was in an immediate danger because of that plotting of that enemy. That serpent, he is silently poised to strike on that unsuspecting prey with his poison. To swallow him up in the morning. Oh, that enemy is rejoicing in this night. Rejoicing in expectation of a victory. In expectation of taking the spoils. And now we read on that night, Could not the king sleep? And why could he not sleep? He could not sleep because God kept him awake. That is our second thought. The king's sleeplessness in this night. Ahasuerus, he was not sleeping. No, Haman wasn't sleeping either. The Lord kept Ahasuerus awake. And who kept Haman awake? Satan kept him awake. Oh, he could not sleep either. No, he could not sleep. He was there building his gallows. Satan doesn't sleep. Satan doesn't sleep, especially in the night. Because Satan is working in the night. Because Satan, he has the night as his cover. He needs it as his cover. Because his works are works of darkness. Young people, where are you in the night? You do not belong in this world in the night. You belong at home in the night. Because in the night is the time of the workings of the devil. And he is going about. Are you not afraid in the night? We ought to be afraid of that dark. Because that darkness is that place wherein Satan is dwelling and wherein Satan is working. Are we never fearful? And that we will be taken in by those workings of the devil. Are you not afraid of him? He is very powerful, more powerful than you and I are. Or his temptations. His temptations, they are able to make us fall in one moment. Satan does not sleep. And Haman, he does not sleep either because Satan, he does not suffer his wicked to sleep. No, we read that they are working their devices, they are making their plans upon their beds in the night to practice it in when it is light in the morning, because it is in the power of their hand to do it. But Mordecai, where is he? You say, Mordecai, he is sleeping. Ahasuerus is not sleeping. Haman is not sleeping. But Mordecai is sleeping. And why? Well, we read in God's Word, David says, so he giveth his beloved sleep. When Herod killed James with the sword, and he proceeded to take Peter also, then we read that Peter, he was sleeping between two soldiers. Was also his last night, or to be his last night. His last night in the world. And he was sleeping. Oh, could you sleep? Could you sleep tonight if it was your last night in this world? God's people cannot take care of themselves. They are so weak. The enemy is so strong. But congregation, God's people do not need to take care of themselves. They do not need to. And why don't they need to? The psalmist, he says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Is that not a blessed rest? Do you know what David says? The Lord, he prepared a table for me. Where? He prepared a table for me in the midst of mine enemies. A place where I may eat. A place where I may take my rest. A place where I may sleep. When that enemy is all around, Why does the Lord allow Mordecai to sleep? Why? Because the Lord, He says, I will stay awake. The Lord, He never sleeps. Who knew that better than David? Who had to experience in his life that he could not take care of himself. He could not protect himself from his enemy. Enemies on the outside, enemies on the inside of his own kingdom. Who knew that better than he? And what did he say? Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Oh, then Mordecai, he does not need to be awake. That serpent, King Herod, when he would kill that Christ child, when he was ready to strike that Christ child, God was not sleeping. David, he says, before me and behind thou art, restraining by thy hand. Oh, what a privilege. What a blessed privilege of the true children of God, that the Lord, He neither slumbers nor sleeps. And when Mordecai is resting, God is awake. And not only is He awake, but He awakens someone else. We read that He is awakening the king, not the servant. The king is His servant. The kings of this world are His servants. He is able to take the heart of a king and to turn it whithersoever that He will. And so He does, even in the night. If he had been sleeping, the Lord wakes him up. Oh, the Lord is able to wake up the whole world if He will. The Lord is able to wake up even all the enemies that would naturally be an enemy of His children and bring them on their side. That heathen king, he does not know why he is awake. That is a mystery to him. But the Lord knows why he is awake. That heathen king does not know why that he desires those chronicles to be read to him. Does not know why. But the Lord knows why. It is because that serpent, that Haman, he has slithered into his position. That serpent who has braced himself. That serpent has raised his head. And that serpent, he is just about to strike his prey. And that prey is sleeping. Let us sing Psalter 86. Let all the earth, Jehovah, fear, and let all that dwell both far and near in awe before Him stand. For lo, He spake, and it was done, and all with sovereign power begun stood fast at His command. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 86.
Thank you.
On that night, could not the king sleep? And why not? Because something is wrong. He does not know what is wrong. But something is wrong. We do not read, congregation, the word of the name of God in this whole book of Esther. But where do we see more clearly the dealings of His divine hand than in this book of Esther? On that night, could not the king sleep? What was happening in that night? Satan was laughing. How Satan laughed when Ahasuerus promoted Haman. And when he set Haman's seat above all the princes that were with him. How Satan laughed. How Satan laughed when Ahasuerus received that plan, that proposal, that plotting of that wicked Haman. How Satan laughed when Haman took his ring from off his hand and gave that unto Haman, the Jews' enemy. How Satan laughed when that writing was signed and sealed with that king's ring to kill, to cause to perish all the Jews, young and old, women and children, in one day. How Satan laughed when Mordecai put on sackcloth and ashes, went out into that city, and he cried with a loud and a bitter cry, step by step. Satan is working to receive his end. And he is coming closer and closer to receiving it. In his hatred against the kingdom of Christ, to prevent his very birth, to prevent his very coming into this world, and to slay, to annihilate that entire church of God. And he cannot wait for that day that has been set aside for the destruction of Mordecai. Oh, he cannot wait for it, because he will not bow to him, then he will have him destroyed even at this very time, and so causing those gallows to be made. And they are standing now in that night, they are standing in that house of Haman. And the glee that cannot be concealed, oh, the devil, he is not able to bring him soon enough in the morning unto that court of the king Ahasuerus, that he may practice the wickedness that he has planned upon his bed. And Satan, he is laughing. And he is waiting in expectation. And the church, that church is weeping. Solomon says, so I returned And I considered all the oppressions that were done under the sun, and the tears of such as were oppressed, and they had no comforter, and on the side of their oppressors there was power. But they had no comforter. Nothing has changed. Nothing from the very beginning of the world, not to the day of Mordecai, not to our day either. But do you know what David writes? Do you know what he writes in Psalm 2? Children, you can read it when you go home. David says, why do the heathen rage? And the people imagine a vain thing. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder. Let us cast their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. Do you know what that says? It says, children, God shall laugh. Not like we laugh in this world. That is different. But Satan can laugh, and the wicked can laugh, and God's children, they can mourn. But the Bible declares that he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. Philistines, they can mock with Samson. They can laugh at him. They can say, let us bring him from the prison. Let us have him come in our midst, that we can laugh, that we can mock, not only with Samson, but with the people of Samson and with the God of Samson. But they did not laugh very long. The Philistines can mock. And when they are standing with their Goliath over against that trembling army of the people of the Lord, and that mighty man in this world, Goliath, he can curse in the name of his idols, and he can mock with God and his children, and he can laugh at them, but he did not laugh long. Rabshakeh, he can mock too. And he can laugh. And he can send that godly King Hezekiah in sackcloth and ashes unto the temple of the Lord. Oh, they can laugh, but in the morning they are all dead corpses. And what does the Lord say? Whom hast thou blasphemed? The virgin daughter of Zion hath despised thee. She hath laughed thee to scorn. Haman can laugh, but he will not laugh long, because his laughing that will be silenced upon his own gallows. Daniel can be thrown into a den of lions, and his mocking enemies can laugh, but their laughter was silenced before they came to the bottom of that pit. When Judas came in betrayal of his master unto the Pharisees, the Pharisees were also laughing. That enemy was mocking. They said, now we have him. But especially Satan was mocking. But now Satan, he did not realize something. That in all his plotting of the death of Christ, that he was being bruised in his own head. And he did not realize that he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. Do you know what David says? He says, they have digged a pit before me, into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves. And do you know what he says after that? Listen to this, young people. Do you know what he says after that? He says, Selah. Selah. Do you know what that means? That means stop a moment. That means pause a moment. That means meditate a moment upon this. Selah. They have digged a pit before me, into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. On that night, could not the king sleep. The glory of God that is arising out of the greatness of his victory. God's children will know from what they have been delivered. They will know the strength of that enemy. They will know their own weakness. They will know the salvation, the deliverance of the Lord. When the wicked are laughing, and when Satan is laughing, it is out of pure unbelief. And that cannot last long. Because the reality is coming. The wicked watching for their prey desire the righteous man to slay. But God is on his side. And he will not leave them in their hands. The congregation, the forces. The forces of that prince of darkness, they are gathering. Maybe you fear that. Maybe you fear that. If our eyes are open, then we can see that in so many ways. When we hear everything that is going on around us, and when we see all his devices, it is not new. It is an age-old conflict. But we can see that it is steadily increasing, and we can see in our days that that is increasing by leaps and bounds. We can see in our days that the rate of increase, and that is itself increasing, young people, on what side? On what side will we stand in that great conflict between these two kingdoms? God's people, they are just a little remnant. They are so poor. They are so weak in themselves. But they are not to be despised, because God is on their side. And I know. It seems, I know. It seems like the greatest forces, the victorious forces, It seems like they are on the other side. But it is not so. And soon all the laughing of Satan and all the instruments of the devil, all that laughing is soon going to stop. Do you know what Paul says? He says, come ye out from among them and be ye separate and touch not the unclean thing and I will receive you. And I will receive you. Is that not a wonder? On that night, could not the king sleep? What did the Lord Jesus say to his disciples? He says, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Are you fearful? When you see all these things building in our day, and when you feel something of that satanic power, then are you fearful? People of the Lord, when Satan wanted to afflict Job, what did he first have to do? He had to ask the Lord. When he wanted to afflict Job, then he had to ask the Lord. For what? For permission. For permission. And that prince of darkness, he was not able to go one step further than that King of Kings allowed him to do. Do we have a hiding place? I was looking I was reading in God's Word, and I read about David. He speaks of the Lord as his rock. As his rock. Thou art my rock, my strength, my tower, my fortress. I thought I live in a palace. I don't know what that rock is. David, he had so much to do with the rocks. David, he knew the strength of that rock. He knew what it was to be in that cave. And that was on the one side an awful thing, but it was on the other side what he experienced to be his protection, his refuge, that rock. Do we have such a rock? Are we hidden in that rock? Then the enemy, that Saul, he was much stronger. And he had more soldiers. And he came right to the entrance of that rock. Right to the entrance of that cave. You say, David, you are lost. You are lost. Now the serpent, he can strike you. That is what he's after. And the serpent couldn't see him. Serpent couldn't see him. And why not? He was hidden there. He was hidden there in that rock. So safe. O congregation, are we also hidden in that rock? Because in every way that is coming in this world, that is coming in our individual life, when we may be so hidden, then are we safe? The Lord Jesus, he said, blessed are ye that are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessed Say, that is not an easy way. No. Not a way of our flesh, but blessed. Why? Because theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we know not what is coming, but according to thy word, it is fearful times. And according to all that we see around us, they are fearful times. Oh, how we need a refuge. How we need that rock. How we need that hiding place. The devil can go no further than thou wilt allow. On that night that king could not sleep, thou wilt take care of thy people. Oh, cause us then, while it is still a day of grace, to hasten for our life's sake. There is still room. And thou sayest, come ye out from among them and be separate. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Oh, give us a place then to lay it before thee, and to beseech thee for that reception. And wilt thou bring us safely to our places? Bless thy word, forgiving our sins, and bringing us with desire together again in this afternoon hour, for Jesus' sake. Amen. 99, 1, 3, 4, and 5. The wicked watching for their prey desire the righteous man to slay, but God is on his side. He will not leave him in their hands, nor count him guilty when he stands in judgment to be tried. 1, 3, 4, and 5 of Psalter 99. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Bless.